Thanks for joining us. I'm Stephanie Whiting, VP of Marketing at iMethods. And today I'm happy to welcome two amazing healthcare IT leaders and friends of iMethods, Kat Hasanovic, Senior Director of Clinical EHR Applications at Baptist Health in Jacksonville, Florida, and Ingrid Napolitano, AVP of Information Technology Applications at UConn Health in Farmington, Connecticut. Both have earned the prestigious Certified Healthcare CIO designation from Chime and are making huge impacts on their respective organizations by leading with purpose, building stronger cultures, and delivering positive results. Welcome to the Connecting Healthcare IT podcast, ladies.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, good morning. Excited to be here.
Well, thank you again for joining us. We're so excited to talk about this important subject today. So as you and our listeners know, the podcast is about bringing people together to share best practices in healthcare IT. That includes people, process, and technology. You were both gracious enough to join us last October in Oklahoma City at iMethods 2023 Healthcare Education Summit as part of our Women in Healthcare IT Leadership panel. The panel discussion won rave reviews by everyone who attended and was inspirational in so many ways, which is why we've invited you to join us today. So let's dive in. We're finally seeing a real shift in healthcare and in business more broadly, where women are taking on more senior technology roles. And while we, women, make up the majority, 80% or so, of buying and usage decisions in healthcare, only 30% of senior leadership positions are held by women. So as this number continues to climb, that's great news, but we really just aren't at parity yet. So while you've both taken different paths, and I know you will, so I know you've gotten where you are in different ways, you likely share common experiences. So today, we'd like to talk a little bit about your experiences, the lessons learned along the way, and how you've applied those lessons to your own leadership skills. So to kick us off, why don't we start with the why? So in your opinion, why is it important to have more women and diversity in leadership positions in healthcare IT? Ingrid, I'll throw that to you first.
Sure. I think it's really important to have women at the table. I think it brings a different perspective, and that leads to better decision-making, innovation, and problem-solving. I also think it's more inclusive, which leads to better critical thinking.
Kat, do you have anything to add?
Yes, sure. You said it earlier with, you know, women make the vast majority of healthcare decisions for their families and their household. If you think about purchasing of technology and devices, and this market segment kind of decides where money could be spent, and it has a great impact on the success of technology-driven organizations. And so I think the bigger question is, why wouldn't you want more diversity at the table when collaborating and leading the change? I see this from a different perspective because only about 3% of the tech industry is made up of Black women. And then 89% of those companies have 0% of what we call Black, Indigenous, or women of color in leadership. So we really do need to work on that and support each other where we can, because we all know that research shows us that diversity makes us even smarter.
Totally agree. Those are great points. So as you have both moved through your organizations into the current leadership positions you hold, what are some of the biggest challenges you encountered along the way? Kat, you want to start that one for us?
Sure. I think for me, one of the biggest challenges is not seeing a whole lot of people that look like me around the table. And sometimes that can create a gender bias. And there's also, you know, work-life balance. Like as a woman, you sometimes feel guilty for trying to balance or put yourself or your family first because you feel like you have to work harder than everyone else in the room. I'm sure Ingrid can attest to that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I also think that there's a limited mentorship or training opportunities for women. And that's something that I've really been trying to focus on. I think the other thing is that, you know, sometimes there's a lack of recognition of my skills and knowledge about the subject, and I get overlooked, and I'm always kind of having to say, oh, you know, by the way, I'm Ingrid from IT, even though I've been in my organization for quite some time, because sometimes they're just looking for that male in the room, unfortunately.
That's so interesting. So I was at a conference not long ago, and one of our presenters was talking about, it was a DEI presentation, and she was saying that when and sometimes women are our own worst enemy. So we do have to be advocates for ourselves, as you were just saying. And there's research that illustrates that, you know, men will see a job description and they have maybe 50 to 70% of the skills available, you know, for to meet the needs of that job description. They're like, yes, I got this. I can make it. And women see it and they have 100% of the scores or maybe of the skills required, or maybe 90%, and they think, oh, I can't do that. I don't have all of it. So our own perspective of going in with needing to be everything in order to feel like we're going to be given equal treatment is a really telling kind of statistic. So super interesting. As a follow-up on that, what do you think would be the most significant barrier? And hopefully it's not ourselves, right? But what's the most significant barrier, either real or perceived, to female leadership at a macro level?
I think it's not having the confidence in yourself. I think you said it earlier. As women, we tend to downplay, you know, our skill set, and we tend to downplay what we're capable of, and we don't give ourselves a chance. And I think, to your point, we do have to be advocates, you know, for each other. And sometimes we have a hard time doing that, and I don't know why.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you both hit on the nail. We need to build each other up and then just sit at the table with confidence. We're smart people, right? We're there for a reason. We got our jobs for a reason. So we can't forget that when we're sitting at the meeting and the topic is coming up and we know the answer, like, we just need to speak up.
Yeah.
So now we understand sort of why it's so important to have women at the table. The next question is how do we get there? So what can we do as an industry and as women leaders ourselves to increase representation of women in other leadership roles? I think you started talking down that path, Ingrid, with regard to mentorship. So do you want to take this one?
Sure, I can start off. I do think it's important for us to create opportunities for us to build up other people, other women on our teams. You know, maybe when we were coming up the ranks, there weren't those opportunities or there weren't as many mentors around. So I think us really just creating that environment of learning and just making sure that our teams are continuing to self-learn too. You know, it's not just things that I bring to the table, but I encourage people to do their own training, you know, similar to like being in a CHIME program. So those are some of the things that I think of.
I agree with Ingrid on that. And, you know, I recently was reading some articles as I was preparing for the leadership, the iMethod Summit, and it really stuck with me. And the article, it was a quote, and it said, healthcare doesn't have a women in healthcare problem. It has a women in healthcare leadership problem. And I think some of the things that Ingrid spoke about is where we can start. You know, educating our leaders on the benefits of diversity in the workplace, engaging with our male allies. You know, there's usually always one or two of our male counterparts that really does have our back, and we have to learn to lean on them more, you know, with their support and creating that culture of inclusion. We also have to ensure that our pool of candidates is diverse, and that'll help our leadership team to become more intentionally diverse.
Yeah, and I think one other thing is that we want to make sure that we get the word out to women that there are careers out there, and that, you know, if you're interested in IT security, go for it. You know, there's just a lot of gender bias that continues in different roles. So we just need to encourage people and make sure that they're aware that there are these jobs out there.
With regard to ensuring your pool of candidates, are you guys starting to see a shift in the number of applicants who are female? There's been so much push in the STEM space for women to become engineers, women to become technology experts and programmers. Is that reaching the market yet, or is it still a little bit away from being folks that you're seeing apply for jobs?
I think from an applications perspective, we see a few more women than usual, only because a lot of the jobs and applications, sometimes they start out from informatics, and sometimes that starts with nursing. And we all know that nursing is a predominantly female-led occupational field. So it's a little different in applications. But as I look across other areas in IT, I'm still seeing, you know, quite a bit more male than female. I think we have a ways to go. Ingrid probably has a bit more of a better perspective than I do. And when it comes to IT as a whole.
Yeah, I think I've seen some increase, but it's not to the level that it should be, right? So it was very unusual if you saw a woman desktop technician, right? But now we have a couple. It shouldn't be an anomaly though, right? It's just, again, I don't know that we have done a good job of getting out there to let people know what these jobs really are and what the skill sets are. And, you know, you don't have to be able to lift something 100 pounds to be able to be a desktop technician. And I think sometimes those kinds of, perspectives dissuade people from even investigating. In our organization, we do have something where we have high school students come through, and I am starting to see more women or girls at that point, I guess, coming through those groups. So that's a nice shift to see, but it's still very slow.
It might be some years away. Well, and you touched on this. So when you're putting out job descriptions into the market, or you're positioning the organization culturally as one that encourages equity and diversity and inclusion, are you finding that you have any sway or influence in how those job descriptions are written? I mean, do you think even the way that those job descriptions are written are inherently dissuading some applicants that happen to be women, just because they're just too something, too dry, too techy?
I think that as Ingrid was talking, I started to think, and I think sometimes we have to shift our vernacular when we're talking about these positions, because just as you were speaking, Ingrid, I started thinking sometimes we say things like, oh, we need to get the desktop guys over here, or, are the IT guys coming? We kind of have to start shifting the way we even speak about it to make it better, right? And so I think we have more leverage than we think we do when it comes to job descriptions, and also how we speak about them. I'm going to change that today.
I love that.
Actually, I'm going to make a conscious effort to not say IT guys or desktop guys anymore.
Start small, just one thing at a time.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, that's a great conversation. Thank you both. So shifting gears a little bit. So both of you have talked about your personal experiences. What are your respective leadership styles? Do they differ in any way from the way your male counterparts manage their teams?
I can go first if you'd like. I'm heavy into leadership workshops and having my directors attend. And it just so happens that all of my directors currently are female. I recently started a book club, and I invited all of the directors in my department to attend to go through Brené Brown's book. One man said, yes, I'll join. And he's been great. It's been great to have his perspective. But the others have no interest. You know, they're still working on widgets. So it's very different, I think.
You know, I call myself a transformational leader. I'm always making sure that, you know, the managers that report up to me feel empowered and have the skill set. I always think about the fact that, you know, I want days off. I would like to have personal time. And so in order to do that, you have to make sure that you surround yourself with a leadership team that feels confident and they feel empowered. And so I include them on a lot of the decision-making for the team. And one thing that I always instill in people is, you know, never forget that what got you here, what got you at the table, won't always keep you at the table. And so you always have to make sure that your team is reflecting the community that you serve, and they also are a reflection of your values as well, because learning never stops, mentoring never stops, and it's from the top down. And so you always have to remember that. I mean, you can't be, you know, that micromanager or that leader that doesn't share the knowledge and make your folks feel empowered. That's so important.
I love that. And Ingrid, you talked a little bit about your book club and that you have one male in it. I was so touched by the fact that at our summit, there were a lot of men in the Women in IT session. So I thought, it's a great testament to their interest in better understanding the women they're working with. And it's also, I thought it was very reassuring that we can enlist their support, not that we need it per se in terms of moving forward, but it's better to have the bigger network, you know, the bigger support of all of your colleagues, regardless of gender. So I thought that that was pretty cool that we had so many men in the Women in IT panel, and that they were among the people in our surveys that were most impressed by the conversation. So we're getting there. We're making some headway.
We are.
Yeah, I think it was interesting too, because they were very honest, like really just, you know, the fact that men stood up in their room and asked us questions and showed some vulnerability and their lack of understanding of how our work goes or our daily careers go. So I think it was just really interesting that they were just willing to kind of put themselves out there and say, I don't get it, but I want to know more.
Love that. That's wonderful. So what advice would you give to women who are aspiring to leadership roles in healthcare IT? I know that you guys are both big on professional development and, you know, ongoing learning, but what other ways might we encourage women to move into this space?
I definitely, you know, the Chime boot camp taught me a lot. And, you know, I went into that very nervous, unsure, you know, about if I even felt confident enough to do it. And so that taught me the lesson of you have to be committed to continuous learning. You have to be involved in organizations. You have to put yourself out there. And don't underestimate the fact that you belong here at this table. You're supposed to be here. And so take advantage of that. And as you look around, you will find that your colleagues and people out in the industry, they are feeling that same level of uncertainty as you are. So don't be afraid to ask questions, seek out mentors and sponsors, and don't be afraid to do things like this. You know, be involved, reach out, stay in touch with other women. If you do that, I think that's more than a first step. That's everything.
Yeah, I think it's really great to be able to get into formal and informal groups of women, you know, just talking about the challenges that you face or the successes that you've had, and really just being able to celebrate one another, maybe in a venue that, you know, is a little bit different in perceiving and receiving the information that you're sharing than your general leadership team. So I think just getting together, sharing ideas, just lifting each other up and just being a support for one another goes so far in, I don't know, what do they say? Fill your cup, right? You need to be able to fill your cup. These kinds of things fill my cup all the time. And, you know, they sustain you so that you can get through those tougher days.
That's great. Well, this has been amazing. And you've both just shared so many, you know, personal experiences and offered some excellent suggestions. Thank you both for your candor and insights again. So similar to what we had at the summit, it was just a very meaningful dialogue about how women can grow in this business. So in summary, it is clear that women are not quite where we need to be in terms of leadership and health in the healthcare space, but we're making headway. Key takeaways would be, to find success in the field would be to stay connected, continue to seek out opportunities, find a mentor and probably be a mentor, right? Be informed about trends and technologies, enlist your support from your colleagues, both male and female, as all of these things will sort of help you achieve your goals. Am I missing anything?
I think you hit it. And just look forward to this new year and do new things and try to pick one thing different every day to do to bolster and help our female colleagues. That's my goal this year, is every day I'm going to try, even if it's just a good morning, a compliment, something every day.
What about you, Ingrid?
I love that. I think really just trying to continue to do mentoring and for people to recognize that when you're mentoring someone, you almost get more out of it than when you're being mentored, you know, so it's a win-win situation.
Great. And we're all going to stop saying IT guys, right? Is that
yes?
Today, yes. We're starting today.
I love that.
Starting today.
This has been super enlightening. Thank you both for sharing your stories with us. It's been a pleasure seeing both of you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Well, to our audience, thank you for listening. And be sure to join us next time for more meaningful discussions around best practices in healthcare IT.